Ephesians chapter 1. What a great book. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, but most theologians believe that this letter circulated in many, many different churches. It's an awesome, enriched letter to these believers, this body of believers. And it's going to encourage us to know, if you're a Christian, to know your position in Christ so you can put it into practice. So to know your position in Christ is to be very encouraged, because many things in life come our way that want to distract us and to discourage us and to tell us things that are not true about who we are in the Lord.
Okay.
That's the most important thing. That you and I know exactly what God did for us and our position in Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, in Him.
Yeah.
It's all about Christ, who He is, what He did for us, and who you are positionally. You may not feel like a Christian sometime, but it doesn't affect your position. Sometimes we just go astray, like dumb sheep will. Sheep are dumb animals, and we're classified as sheep in the Bible. Real sheep hear His voice, and they follow Him. But sheep need to be what? Led. Encouraged.
Yes.
Instructed.
Amen.
But today, I don't know where you are, if you're a Christian or not. Hopefully you are a born-again Christian. You have to be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. But maybe somewhere along the line, you lost in your mind and heart your position. How God classifies you as a child of God. You know why? It doesn't matter what the world says about me.
All right now, come on.
This is very encouraging. It doesn't matter what the world says about what my position is. If I'm born again, I've come to a place in my life that I've repented of my sin. I have professed Christ as the only way to enter the kingdom of heaven. He is my Lord. He is my Master. He is my Savior. Yes, my position is going to be encouraging. Because nobody can take away my position. My heart. Even though it fails me at times. Has your heart ever failed you? I'm the only one? Even if your heart condemns you, God cannot condemn Himself, because He's in your heart. Sometimes your heart wants to condemn you. But God is bigger than that. He's bigger than your heart. And if you're a born-again Christian and you know that, it's encouraging to know your position in Christ when you go through hard times.
Yes.
There are hard times, aren't they?
Amen.
I look for that point in the Bible where it says once you become a Christian, all your problems were going to be solved, and I could never find that passage. But we can have peace, we can be reassured that our position, no matter what our mind or our heart tells us sometime about what we're doing, is in Christ and Him alone.
Yeah.
It's not about how I feel that day.
Yeah.
That's encouraging. And the Apostle Paul, he was writing the way I know he's an apostle, it says right there, and an apostle of Christ. There's only 14 apostles in the whole world that ever lived. And he was one of them. An apostle of Christ Jesus by the what? By the will of God. Whose will is it for you to be saved? It's God's will. Is it God's will that everybody be saved? Yes. But we know that not everybody is going to be saved. But it's God's will that everyone be saved. And according to this letter, he comes to us and writes this letter by the will of God. God wants you to know something through His Word today to the saints. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you're a born-again Christian, you're a saint. You're not a sinner.
You're
You know, we need to rephrase our theological terms. He never addresses born-again believers, those who have trusted Christ as Savior, as sinners. Dear sinners. Dear sinners. No, he never does. Even though we what? We do... we do sin.
Yes.
You could point it like this. We're saints that sin. Hopefully you sin less, but you're not sinless. Hopefully as you grow in your walk with the Lord, you sin less.
Yes.
But you'll never be sinless.
All right.
See the difference?
Yes.
And if you're a child of God, the will of God is for you to live a life that's pleasing to Him. And if you're a true child of God, you don't want to sin, and you're grieved over it when it happens in your life.
Yes. Yes.
And to the saints, you're a saint. That's your position. Doesn't matter how you feel sometimes.
Amen.
Your position is in Christ. God looks at you through His perfect Son, and your position is secure, even though your heart tells you some days that it's not. Even though sometimes people out in that world tell you differently, you can say, hey, because of Christ,
yes,
I know,
yes,
my position.
Yes, right.
Turn to your neighbor and say, I know my position. Now, not all of you in this congregation can actually say that because you have not been positionally saved by grace through faith alone in Christ alone.
Amen.
But it's the will of God that today is the day of salvation for you. Not tomorrow. Why? Because your heart may stop beating tonight, right?
Amen.
Is it the will of God for everyone who is not saved to be saved?
Yes.
Yes. And He says, grace to you. Turn to your neighbor and say, grace to you.
Grace to you.
And peace from God, our Father, who gives us grace and peace. It says it right there. Don't you love the Bible? It answers itself when you ask a question. It answers it the next stop. It says, God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where you get grace and peace from. Have you ever tried to find peace somewhere besides Christ?
Yes.
Like a sheep goes out and tries to find greener pasture than what he's getting from the shepherd, and he ends up eating some grass that makes him sick. Because he wandered off the path that the shepherd had for him, the shepherd being Christ, and dumb sheep, they go, well, that looks good, but this looks even better over here. And they go, and it's the wrong grass. It looks like the real grass. And they eat the grass, and it makes them sick. That's what we get from straying away from the shepherd. Have you ever strayed away from the shepherd?
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad I'm not the only one. Y'all get real with it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Oh, I can barely get to that verse because I've been meditating on this a lot. Who has what? Verse 3. Blessed us, those who are positionally in Christ, has blessed us born again believers with some spiritual blessings? Every. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's not holding back. Don't you love that about God?
Yes.
Don't you love that about God? That He's not looking to hold back blessings based on your performance?
Wow.
Y'all get that. If you get it, that's gonna make it a lot better for you. That if you're positionally in Christ, that He desires, God does, not to give you some blessing, not to give you a little blessing, not to give you blessings only when you deserve it, because you are deserving, because you're in Christ.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
In Him.
Yes.
That's why you deserve, yes, every spiritual blessing. Not some, not a little bit. isn't that comforting that your Father in heaven, because of your relationship with Christ, desires to give you every spiritual blessing?
Amen.
And notice it says spiritual. Oops. Spiritual is not physical. Sometimes we want the what first? Stuff we can touch, stuff we can see, stuff that's going to make our life better, stuff that won't last for eternity. The question would be for you and me to try to answer, wait, do I desire, Lord, do I desire every spiritual blessing? Or am I desiring things that will rust and corrupt? See, he didn't say every physical blessing, did he?
No.
Does God take care of his own?
Yes.
The righteous will never be seen begging bread. He takes care of the sparrows. They chirp every morning. They don't reap nor sow. They don't do any of that. And they're only worth a nickel compared to your soul. To your soul, because positionally, you are in Christ. You mean everything to him. Does he mean everything to you? So when you're positionally in Christ, you've been saved by grace through faith. Here's the challenge now. Position, we know our position. Okay, preacher, we got that. Our position is in Christ, not in the world. Our position is in Christ, not what the world says about us. Our position is in Christ, not how we act.
Yeah.
Now, do I put my position... Hello, I'm preacher talking. My position... As my position, do I put it into practice now? Some of us haven't gotten there yet. Our position is not matching up with what we practice. Oh. We're still acting like the old self. That baby's still sucking on a bottle year after year after year after year. The mother comes to and says, when are you getting off the bottle? When are you getting off the bottle? Some of us are still on the bottle. God says, let's move on. You should be a lot more mature if positionally you're in Christ and you're reading the Word and trying your best to obey the Word, and it's you're still on the bottle and it's been a long time. You got to go back and check to see if you're really a child of God to start with. Because babies, when they get fed the milk, pure milk, if it's good milk and they're healthy, they grow. And so if you're positionally in Christ and you're not growing, red flag. Something's not right. Maybe you need to get saved for real and then start again for the first time. And so positionally, you put it into practice, but he gives you every spiritual blessing. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Oh, that's a handful. There's a lot of blessings in there. Those are the characteristics of Jesus. Man, and if you're like me, there's a lot on that list that I need.
Amen.
That's a full-time job. Lord, I'm not matching up with a lot of that patience part. I'm not matching up with that self-control spiritual blessing I need more. I'm a little out of control when I don't need to be out of control. And I'm a little patient when I need to be just patience. I need love for my fellow man. I need love. I need to love my neighbor as myself. That's the spiritual blessing that God wants to give you. But some of us want the bling in life, but we don't want more love. I want the big car and the better house, but I don't care about having any joy in my life. I got some issues in my life, but I don't care about kindness. If our position is in Christ, we want to be more like Him, don't we? Or do we? It's tough. Working out your salvation through fear and trembling can be a long road. But He wants to, God does, He wants to give you every spiritual blessing. Okay, Lord, I want every spiritual blessing. But He didn't say physical blessings. You know, God is in the healing business, always has been. He's in the deliverance business. He can always deliver. He can always heal. He always provides. And one day, whether He provides for you on this earth or not, one thing is guaranteed in Scripture, that one day you'll walk on streets of gold. Gold won't mean anything to you, and you'll have a heavenly mansion. But do you want every spiritual blessing? Because He says, in the heavenly places in Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, every spiritual blessing is in Christ.
Every spiritual blessing is in Christ.
Lord, I want spiritual blessings. I want every spiritual blessings because it can be given to me in the Lord. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And yes, Lord, if I get this right, if I first seek the kingdom of God twice, or the second?
First.
Here's a lot of our attitudes. Well, God, I'm saved and everything, I'm just doing my own thing, and if you don't start blessing me with stuff, I'm just going to go back and do it my own way, my own time, and making deals with God. And if God, you show me a sign, then I will do this, God, like you're doing Him a favor. But Jesus said simply, if you seek God first, if you seek the spiritual blessings that He wants to lavish on you, lavish, you know what lavish means? Truckloads. Just more than you can absorb. Excessive. He wants to lavish. God wants to lavish on you. Does it make you feel better? I think I'm the only one. I think I'm the only one getting this thing. So ask for spiritual blessings and then seek first the kingdom of God. Then. A-double-L, all! Turn to your name and say, all means all. But we need to be asking for the right thing, don't we? He wants to give us everyone. God's not looking to hold back. But do you want it? Or are you preoccupied with stuff that the world's enticing you to do? We got a lot on our mind for sure, don't we? And our mind can consume us if we're not careful. If we're not careful, all of a sudden the things of the world consume us. We start getting drifting out of the Word of God. We don't pray as much as we ought. We don't read the Word as much as we ought. And what happens? We end up even acting like our old self again. to the praise of the glory of His grace. Grace is unmerited favor. You cannot earn it. You cannot earn it. You don't deserve it. God freely gives it to you as a gift. Somebody said, well, I'm a good person. I'll try to work my way into heaven. I said, well, how many good things do you have to do exactly to get into heaven? Just tell me that. Well, you got to be real good, especially better than him down the road. He's a real bad person. I said, that'd be easy to do. You look like an angel compared to a real bad person. That's not hard to do. You just go compare yourself with a real bad person. I look like an angel's wings on me. Some people still believe that you can get to heaven by being a good person. And so you have not received the gift of grace, and therefore you have trampled on the Son of Man and His sacrifice on the cross, telling God He is a liar. If you have never repented of your sins and put your faith in Christ as Lord and Savior by grace through faith alone, you're saying God is a liar. Somebody said, well, I can get to heaven by being a good person. Well, the gift of God is free, and He's insulted, God is. He's insulted for you to say you can get to heaven by being a good person in light of His sacrifice on the cross. Have you ever been insulted? It'd be like this. Well, I can get to heaven by being a good person. I say, okay. Here are the keys to this brand new 750iL BMW. It's a gift. Here. Nice. Real nice. And then you take the keys. It's a gift. I say, I give it to you. Happy birthday to you. And you take it and you drive around that 750, man. Whoa, man, it's nice, nice, nice. And it's so nice, you come back and say, you know, it's so nice that I'm feeling really guilty about driving this Beamer that's cost $120,000. I feel really guilty that you gave it to me as a gift. I tell you what, to make me feel better, I want to give you a couple of bucks for it. How would that make you feel? Somebody wanted to pay $2 for a car that's $120,000. You would be insulted like nobody's business. And if you're trying to work your way into heaven by just being a better person and avoiding the cross of Calvary, then you're insulting God, just like that analogy. In Him, in Christ, turn to your neighbor, say, in Him. We have redemption through His blood. He has redeemed us. He has bought us with a price, His blood on the cross. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. He shed His blood, signifying death. Blood signifies death. Christ died on the cross. He has redeemed us from a life of slavery to what? Sin. You were enslaved to sin. Now, as a Christian, you're not no longer in that slavery of sin because you've been redeemed. You've been bought with a price. Someone came to you and paid the price for you to be released from the penalty, the power, and one day the presence of sin. Remember one day when you go to heaven, you'll never have to deal with sin again. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
I'm tired. But in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you're a Christian, you've been forgiven.
And don't let anybody bring up something in your past that God has forgiven you of.
Amen.
That's the devil. Boy, that's a big weapon of Satan too, boy. As far as the east, man, I'm excited. As far as the east is from the west, God has redeemed you, He has justified you, He has declared you through His Son Christ righteous and holy. Don't let anybody say, well, what about when you used to do all that stuff? Just tell them to take it up with God. You just tell them, hey, right here, buddy, right here. You can't condemn me. My heart can't condemn me. It says right here, bud. In him. Not in me. Not in what I can do, but in him. I have redemption. I was purchased with the blood of Christ. I have been set free from the bondage of slavery to sin.
Yes.
And through His blood I have been forgiven.
Yes. Thank you.
Of all my sin, not according to what I have done, but it says right here, man, woman, whatever you're saying to me about my past, according to the riches, I'm rich, by the way. I might not have my bank account set up like you, but I'm rich. Because my destiny is in heaven. My mansion is where moths and rust cannot corrupt it. Move on down the road. That's right. Move on down the road, man.
Yeah.
In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. And in verse 8, He not longer just gives it to us and withholds it. He lavishes it on us. He pours it in excess. He wants us to have more, more, more. And don't ever say, God, I'm feeling guilty today. I've got to make myself feel bad for a while, and I'm going to refuse some of your spiritual blessings. That's not being humble. That's being arrogant. Because that's not what the Bible says. Your position is. Let Him lavish His spiritual blessings on you so you can live a fruitful life in Him. Say it with me as we close. In
Him.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, You lavish Your spiritual blessings, Your grace on us, because as born-again Christians, we are rich.
Yes.
Let us live in our position in Christ so we can live our life out in practice. Just like the Word says. Just what the Word says. Let us just get that. That we need to live and want spiritual blessings. And You'll take care of us because You take care of the sparrows.
Yeah.
They're only worth a nickel. So let us not be worried about our physical needs, but let us be concerned with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And Father, for those of us in this sanctuary that do not know You as Lord and as Savior, we have never confessed our sins and put our faith in Christ. We have never been born again. Let that be the day to be that day of salvation for that person listening to this message. Only You can save. And You desire all men and women to be saved. And for us that are sheep, we're already saved by grace. And Father, we want to live a fruitful life, a life that's full of abundance and full of spiritual blessings. Let this Word seep into our hearts so we can leave this place and use what we've learned today to help us become more like Your Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah be the Lamb of God who took away all of our sin. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. And we give you all the glory and all the honor. And all of God's children said,
Amen.
Amen.